Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Anonymous Advice Podcast. I'm Andrew, and holy hell, it is January 25th. Happy Monday. My gosh, time is flying by. We got a new president, but I got a couple bones to pick here. First of all, I'm not an ageist. Betty White is just old. What do you want me to do about it? I made a joke about it. I got hit up. Same with Larry King. My God, he had 8 wives. Is that not strange? Like, what do you want me to do about that? Betty White's old. I mean, I'm sure she's young at heart, but her heart's also 99. But man, just stop it. Get a hold of yourself, people. And second of all, my best friend Jackie hit me up this morning and said my Insta stories aren't funny anymore. And you know why? Because they're not. I got this podcast, which is funny maybe 1 out of 10 times. I got pineapple wine and I got the stock market. That's my life. So first of all, well, there's only one other thing I gotta say. First, all you do is post happy birthday shit. What is all these birthdays? Happy birthday, Mary. Happy birthday, Jane. My God. You have 500 friends? You're posting about a birthday every 2 seconds. Are they close to you? Man, gosh. But anyway, we got a hell of a podcast today. My buddy Greg. I'm just kidding around too, guys, by the way. But my buddy Greg, he's got a new record out from his project Secret Gardens. We go all into that. We go all into, you know, cheating girlfriends, cheating spouses, whatever. It's a hell of an episode. His project Secret Gardens sort of reminds me of Explosions in the Sky. Like, I went to go see them a couple years ago. I was on a date at that time. My God, I think she's still the love of my life, but you never know. But it reminds me of that. And yeah, you'll hear all about it in this podcast. So thank you guys so much for tuning in, and I'll see you next week. Bye. What's up, dude?
Yo, man, how's it going? Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me? Everything good?
Yes, I can. Yep.
Wow, it's recording, by the way. So we'll just go with the flow here. How are you, man? How you been?
I'm good. Is there feedback, like, from the speakers or anything like that?
No, you sound beautiful. It's amazing. Great voice over there.
I have my mic hooked up and it's coming out of my monitors, but I just want to make sure it's not feeding back into the microphone.
It's so crazy because you actually know what you're doing, because you were asking before we got on, like, oh, do you want just me to record the audio? I'll send it to you. I'm like, I think I'm just going to do Zoom. I think we got it down here.
No, yeah, I've had to do a couple different podcasts and, like, I don't know. I went to school for audio engineering, so I'm like a big, like, I got to make sure it sounds good. And
yeah, for sure. For sure. But where did you go to school?
Five Towns.
Oh, great. Oh, yeah, yeah. Great, great. Yeah. I went to Hofstra up there, so...
Good times. I know a few people who went there.
Yeah, so congrats on the album release, man. I got to tell you, I was listening to it last night. Tough Conversations is, like, a jam for me.
Dude, fuck yeah. Thank you so much. It's an experience for sure, and that's what I wanted it to be. I feel like a lot of people, you hear the term concept album, and you think of, like, a band writing about some story about, like, these characters and whatnot. And, like, I kind of did the opposite kind of concept album where it's like, there's no words. it's like feelings and emotions I've kind of been through and processed in the past year and a half, and just put into, you know, song form and instrumental form. But I mean, there's some stuff with vocals on the album, but it's not, I don't know. It just basically tells my story, and I'm stoked that you liked that track. It's definitely like a raw emotional opening to an album.
It's crazy because it reminds me, one of the last concerts or shows I went to before COVID was Explosions in the Sky. And it sort of reminds me of that. It reminds me of sort of the soundtracks of some of my favorite, you know, fucking TV shows and stuff. Like, it just flows so well.
Yeah, dude, that's exactly what I'm kind of going for. Explosions in the Sky, big influence for sure. They've made some incredible records. I feel like they sort of started a whole, not started, but, like, they got real popular with the post-rock genre and really turned a lot of new people onto it. Like, I saw them open up for Death Cab at work. I work at Madison Square Garden. We've talked
Damn.
About them.
I
saw them open up for Death Cab at work, and that was, like, one of the greatest shows I've ever seen.
Damn, dude, that must have been fucking sick.
Yeah, obviously, because Death Cab is great, but I really never, that was, like, my first time I was kind of turned on to the post-rock genre. So
how long ago was that? So is that one of the reasons you started started recording in this sort of genre, writing and recording it?
It is and it isn't. It's like, I was I knew they were an instrumental band and I sort of knew what post-rock was, but I never really took a huge listen to it till that. But that was cool. That was like a soft opener. But then my friend showed me the Tides of Man album, Young and Courageous.
Oh, yeah.
That really got me like, holy fuck, this is something that's so cool. And I remember thinking to myself, like, while I was on tour with Vista, I remember thinking like, you know, if I wanted to, I could make one of those records. Like, yeah. I think I could make something like strong in the genre in that sort of vein. If I ever wanted to not like branch out from Vista at that point, but just like if I ever wanted to just experiment with stuff and fuck around and I had free time, I knew I could do it.
Yeah, I mean, how did you sort of get started producing as sort of, a kid or something, right? So how did you sort of make that step from, I'm going to learn, you know, Ableton or Logic, and then yeah. I'm going to start making my own music? Because I met you through Vista, but, obviously you're doing your own thing and everything, which is great.
Yeah, it's, so there's a band I'm still in technically, but it's kind of just like a high school band, like with my buddies from high school that we, like, we get together every now and then, we put out stuff when we can, but it's not like a crazy, it's like a hobby band, you know?
Yeah.
It's called Here's to You. And that band I've been in since 2009.
We
go that deep far back. So
I feel like you're a lot younger than me. Cause 2009 for me was, I was in college.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm 26. I don't know.
Okay. I'm 32. All right. Yeah. We're quite a difference.
Cool. Yeah, no, but I started that young, and like, all the recording and shit I learned was out of like up until when I went to college in 2013.
Yeah.
All the recording stuff I learned was just out of necessity. Like I had to learn it because we had to make demos and had to show people what we sounded like because we had to put it on our MySpace page. So I just like on a trial and error. Like you hear the first Here's to You recordings that me and like Stefan and Charlie in the band were trying to make and trying to like craft. They sound like utter garbage. But we slowly got better and better at it, just learning new techniques. And then when I went to school, you know, that was a game changer.
Yeah. And especially like, it's so weird because when I was in college, I think a couple years before you, the electronic type of genres were sort of blowing up in America, right? So like, yes. I didn't hear anything like it before. Like I started working for Tiesto, like A-Track, all these guys, and my mind was blown when I went to one of those shows. Did you get influences from, you know, electronic artists as well?
Oh yeah, 100%. I'm into more of like the chiller side of electronics.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
huge influence is Tycho.
My God, dude, they're so good.
Yeah. I've seen him live so many times. That whole fucking band is so incredible. And yeah, huge influence on like the vibe and sound. But I generally like the more like chill house stuff. Like
yeah, for sure.
Kind of stuff. Nothing too like, I don't know. I like a few trancy records if they're good, but nothing too like fist bumpy Jersey Shore bro.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah, that's a little tough for me to get into as well.
But no, I mean, it's cool if you like it, but it's just, I'm not as into it. But I definitely like some producers are just fucking crazy, dude.
I know, it's insane. And I've always wanted to get into it. I got a 90-day trial for Ableton. I've been screwing around with it, but it takes a lot because if you don't know what you're doing, it really gets frustrating after a while. It's like cracking a code or something, you know?
Yeah, Ableton's my baby. That's what I use to make all the Secret Garden stuff.
Do you have like, you obviously have like the full version. Do you buy like a lot of add-ons and stuff like that all the time? Or
yeah, it's taken me a long time, but I've accumulated a nice library of plugins that I like and stuff. Stuff I was shown in school and stuff that my teachers kind of recommended and then I tried out and really ended up liking. But then, I don't know, a lot of peers will recommend me plugins like, yo, try out this crazy plugin. It has a cool effect in this way.
Yeah.
I'll just end up fucking around with stuff for a while.
That's awesome. That's great. But do you think this whole COVID quarantine thing helped create the music, or do you think it sort of hindered it?
So if you're talking about Tundra, the record I just put out, I ended up finishing writing for that literally once COVID started, which was crazy. So before COVID started, my life was actually a nightmare and I was going through probably the worst breakup I'll ever go through.
Really? What the hell happened?
Hopefully it's the worst one. I don't know. Just my emotions being grinded to literal dust. And I just felt like a shell of a person. It was really hard.
That sucks.
Really, really terrible period for me. And I was also dealing with some stuff with friends back home, and just like life was just taking a huge dump on me. And I don't know, the only thing I could really do was write and create and just like hone in on this next project. Cause like I put out a record before the one I just released.
Yeah.
Which was cool. It was like me kind of solidifying my sound and what kind of stuff I liked fucking with. And then this one I really honed in a lot and got a lot more honest and deeper with myself.
Awesome. Yeah. So when did you realize you wanted to start this sort of project?
I would say 2017. I think I had the first thought to do it in 2017, and then 2018 I actually like sat at my guitar one day and was like, oh shit, like this could be an actual song that I end up making.
Dude, it's so funny, like this genre is just so good, and sometimes I'm listening to records being like, I wish this guy wasn't singing at this part, like the instrumental is just so goddamn good. So it's awesome.
That's funny. Yeah, I don't know, singing is a controversial topic in the world.
Oh yeah, for sure. 100%.
It can be. Some people like it. Some people fucking hate it. You know.
So what else have you been doing, man? Past year, everything good?
Everything's been pretty damn good. I've been, side note, do you hear the squeaking above me or no?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay, cool. Thank God.
is there a mouse in the house or what's going on over there?
No, it's like the people moving around upstairs. It's all good. Okay. We're good. So the past year I've, so it's all right, it's January, so I was in like the deep depression a year ago. But say February is when I started to kind of turn things around for myself. Like right before COVID hit, I went on like a small like little week trip out to the like places on the West Coast, and that really helped me get out of my rut a lot. I do a lot of traveling to get experience for get like, you know, life experience that helps me write. And also just like, it's just something I love, really, really love doing. I love hiking and outdoorsing and stuff.
Yeah, dude, you and Holly are fucking globetrotters over here. I see these Instagram posts. I'm like, where the fuck are you today? What's going on over here?
Well, I don't know. So, and like, if I'm going to make, this is purely a joke, like in the Vista divorce, I ended up getting the van because the van was always under my name.
Okay.
So this summer we actually lived out of the van for a little bit.
That's awesome.
Not a little bit, like a few months, and just went and traveled places because I don't know, I was getting unemployment and I figured it was the safest thing I could do while not losing my mind. We were super COVID safe. Like we didn't really stay in any hotels, just live because there's a bed in the van. So we just took the touring van. It had no fucking gear in it, like because we weren't playing shows. So it was actually really spacious and nice.
It's so great. Like this, obviously this year was, or like last year was pretty horrible for a lot of people. But I feel like some type of people, like myself included, have really gone out and been like, what am I doing in life? What's going on? Like, do I need to move in this direction? Do I need to go in that direction? Like, it was a good time to sit back and you know, just soak everything in.
Yeah, I've always been passionate about like nature and outdoors, and I'm glad I got to see a lot more of it this summer. And also, you know, I don't know, it's an unfortunate situation that the entire world is in as a whole, and I'm not going to discount the amount of people that have suffered and died, unfortunately.
Yeah,
but I don't know, I figured if there was any way for me to get through things, it would be to just kind of live out of my van for a bit and not be around any people and literally just hike. Like,
yeah, for sure. I mean,
Ali was going to take the ride with me, and I don't know, thank God for the ability to do that. And all, you know, I was able to stay active, so that helped my mind a bit, you know.
Where was the best place that you visited in the U.S.?
Oh my God, there's so many, dude.
Any like towns that you wouldn't think were cool but were cool, or like
there's a town, oh fuck, I don't remember the name of it.
I remember the state.
So many like ghost western towns that I was like, fucking, oh wait, this is not just in the movies. Like,
yeah, I know, it's like, it's weird. I went to Pioneer Town or whatever in Joshua Tree. It's the weirdest thing of all time.
Yep, Joshua Tree is fucking rad.
Yeah, it's sick.
Oh man, what did I'm trying to look at a map on my phone. On
yeah, no, that's all good. But dude, Pioneer Town, like they film all these fucking movies out there, but there's still people living out there. Like, it was so weird. I was out there for a wedding and it was unreal.
That's awesome. Oh dude, I went to, I think it was Pueblo, Colorado, and that literally looked like a Western, like dirt rolling, you know, like tumbleweeds rolling through the town, kind of old style shit. And it's only a few hours out of Denver because it's near this national park that has like these huge ass sand dunes. I think that's the right city I went to. I'm not sure, but
it's so crazy. You think about it, it's like people, everyone I hear this from, it's like, oh man, US so crowded, dude. You can go 18 million miles in Texas and not see a single person. Like, it's there's so much more space.
Yeah, it's there's a lot out there, man. And I think if everyone got the ability to, you know, access nature and just be kind of, not to quote my own brand, but like immersed in it for a bit. Like if you were just able to take some time and chill out and really just like get soaked into nature or what kind of stuff you like seeing, like you could be a person who likes forests, mountains, deserts, canyons. There's so much fucking cool shit to see.
It's crazy. And people don't really realize it, but it's insane. Like America is the craziest fucking place ever.
I agree. I hardcore agree. Like America, the people are, I don't know, the people are a different story. And like, there's a lot of problems with the people in America, but geographically, like it's probably my favorite country because there's just everything.
That's awesome. So you had that breakup a year ago. How's the dating life? Are you on Tinder? Or, what are you on right now?
Dating life is pretty good. I'm not on Tinder. I've kind of just been just laying low, you know, not, you know, because of COVID, I'm not really venturing out too much. I'm enjoying myself and I'm enjoying the people that are in my life right now and just having, you know, just not, I'm not trying to like go anywhere or venture anywhere or do anything because I'm very much focused on this, this project and just like,
yeah, for sure.
I don't want to be part of the problem. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You don't really want to spread around, you know, you gotta lay low. It's so weird though. I did a couple of those like virtual movie dates. It's so weird. I don't like looking at people. I don't get it.
You about that? How the fuck is that?
Huh? Yeah. What did you say?
I said I want to ask you about that. How the fuck is that?
Dude, it's like you know, FaceTiming. I may be an old timer here, but I just don't like looking people in the face. It freaks me out.
That's funny, dude. It sounds awkward. Even real dates are awkward as fuck sometimes.
I know they are. And I feel like we're both very, you know, we're pretty personable guys, I'd say. But like, it's still sometimes you got to pick and you got to pick everything you can to get someone to, you know, talk. It's weird.
Yeah. Some people, I don't know. It's weird. If you're not, if the vibes aren't there and you aren't talking, it's hard to do, you know, it's hard to make anything else like come of it, you know, or really get to know a person. It's a difficult thing. So you just got to have that. I don't know. Yeah, first impressions are very important.
What was your longest relationship? Do you know?
I'd say a year and a half, like solid.
Okay.
You know, like not like the pre phases or anything. I'd say it was about a year and a half.
Wow. Okay.
But I don't know. I feel like people get in like these multi-year relationships and like, or a lot of the people I know, and I don't know. I've just never been able to do that because if there's bad stuff or stuff that's not going to work, it always comes up within a year.
Which is good, though. I mean, at least you're not one of those guys who hangs around and then like everything unloads one night, you know, had a couple cocktails or whatever. You're yelling at the person being like, I've always hated you. Like, the whole thing.
I try not to be explosive like that.
Real quick, back to music. Then we can get into a couple questions here. But are you trying to, so for this project, are you trying to get a lot of like movie and film TV syncs and stuff? Is that sort of your aim?
That is something I would be 100% interested in.
Cool.
It's very lucrative, I think, to get in, but when you're in, from what I know.
Yeah. My company Concord, we had like an instrumental in an Arby's commercial made like $4 million.
That's incredible. Like, yeah, landing like something like that, or even to a much smaller degree, would be incredible. Because I don't know, when I make this stuff, it's really like from the get go, just me here in my room, it is therapy for me. It's what I need to do in life, and it's like pretty much my calling. And yesterday's release day actually really solidified that. That's what it is. And if people really like it and connect with it, that's an even more beautiful thing. And that I would love that. And obviously like, who's going to say no to money for their music? I would love that. And it'd be cool to live a comfortable, like, I don't need to be lavish or anything, but it would be cool to live a comfortable life doing that. But you just got to meet the right people and have the right connections. But who knows? Maybe one day it'll happen.
Hey, man, I'm all for it, dude. I'm pretty sure it's going to happen. Like the record's really amazing. I'm happy release day yesterday. We're filming this on Saturday. This comes out on Monday. So happy release weekend. So yeah, let's get into a couple questions here. I want your opinions on some of this stuff. It's so relationship
format,
based.
The format is people submit anonymous questions to you, right?
Yeah. So like the whole idea is for me to give advice to strangers, right? The Anonymous Advice Podcast. Okay. Awesome. But, I've been told I give really horrible advice. Most of it is like, you just need to break up with the person, which I don't know. Sometimes
Dude,
you just gotta run.
I have a good friend of mine who's like on the phone with her best friend, like every day, and will not fucking just tell her best friend, you'll break up with this dude. And I'm just like, because I want to say it, but I don't want to like put my foot before, you know, it's not my place, but
it's so crazy. Yeah.
I'm like mouthing to her when I like, whenever we hang out, I'm like, dude, break up with
me. Yeah, I know. It's sorry. People are upstairs as well in my house. So if you can hear that, that's just like on my side and all that.
I can't hear anything. It's
all right, great. Yeah, dude, it's crazy. Let's get into the first question here. So I'll read it. I'll try and wrap it up pretty quickly. I'll read the questions. There's three of them. And then you can give your advice and I'll just chime in and whatnot.
Yeah. So where did these people submit questions to you? Like,
so I have an email. So I've gotten a lot of these are either from Reddit or my email. So I'll post like online being like, do you have a question? Just hit me up at, you know, anonadvicepodcast@gmail.com or whatever.
That's rad. Okay, cool. So there's anyone on the internet anywhere in the world?
Anywhere in the world. They're mostly in America, I believe. But All right. I found out my boyfriend of 6 months still gets Tinder matches. Oh, Jesus. Here we go. I met my boyfriend on Tinder. We've been together for 6 months. And I've been living at his place for 2 months. Up until now, our relationship was perfect. We never fight. He's attentive, loving. We went on many trips and have great fun together. One day, as we were on a drive, I was using his phone to set the music, and I found out he has many Tinder notifications, including new matches. I confronted him about it immediately, and he apologized, and admitted he was still swiping occasionally to pass the time. Honestly, it was such a shock. I started crying and asked why he would feel the need to do such a thing when we had been exclusive for months. And in particular, I myself deleted the app in front of him months ago, so I assumed he understood I was serious about him. Anyway, he told me he was only swiping and didn't chat with anyone over a half a year. Once he saw how upset I was, he deleted the app immediately in front of me, but I was stupid enough to not check his chat history to confirm what he told me. I want to point out that I absolutely know there is no way he would be physically cheating since we live together and almost never go out without me. How do I confront him about this? What should I do? What's your advice, man?
Well, she said she confronted him about it immediately. I feel like this, if you really want to try to work it out, there's something deeper, I think, than,
yeah,
there's something deeper that you need to look into, or maybe it's probably not your responsibility. It should be like a therapist's responsibility. Like, why did you feel the need to swipe? Like, what do you feel like you haven't accomplished, or what kind of person do you wish you were with? Or like, what do you feel like you're lacking? 'Cause there's something deeper there. I don't know. I don't think. It's weird because I'm a person who gets validation via like the art I put out and stuff, you know, for what little it's worth. It's nice, but I don't know if that's a form that a person who doesn't have an outlet like that kind of uses to get like validation. Like, oh, this person thinks I'm hot. This person thinks I'm hot.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's
that is a point of validation, though. You're right. But I would be pissed if someone I was seeing was still on Tinder. If I looked at the phone, that'd be a fight for me. I'd be like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, I know. I agree. She was totally right to bring it up. I would have done the same thing. And yeah, it's like alarming. It's kind of shocking. If he buries it more and tries to hide it more, break up with him immediately.
Yeah.
But I've also been in the perspective of not with anything like that, but if someone tells me like, yo, don't fucking do that. Like, that is not, I didn't sign up for that. That's not cool. And sometimes that shocks me and I'll realize and I'll never do it again. Yeah. But with different topics though, not with like cheating or infidelity, but
yeah, I like, feel like he's like, got, yeah, sorry. Keep going.
No, I said, if someone was weird with like, I don't know, like if I was weird with paying the bill or something, like, and someone said like, hey, this is weird. Don't do that again. Like, I'll be like, oh, okay. I realize that. I'm sorry. and people can change, but I don't know that there's one chance and only one chance. And if you find anything weird or sus again, it's time to go.
Yeah. I mean, 6 months, I dated this girl right before COVID. She's a lovely lady. It didn't work out, unfortunately, but, yeah, it's all good. She's I don't know. I'm in love with her still, but, let's carry on here. But we went out. If she had Tinder on her thing after 6 months, that's a deal breaker for me. I got to break up with her. I don't know.
I feel you on that. It's weird. I don't know. I try to give people the benefit of the doubt, like once.
Yeah, for sure.
But literally only once, because I don't know. If you're also not vibing that much on it and you find some red flags too, that might just be all the ammo you need to be like, you know what? This isn't right. Let's get out of this. But yeah, it's one of two options. It's not, don't ever sweep it under the rug. I would say you get one chance, be very open and transparent how you feel about it. Be like, dude, this, I don't want to ever see that again. Like, not to be an alarmist or anything. Like, I don't want to see that again. Or, you know, otherwise we're through, or just be through with it now. But obviously, I don't know your situation. It's obviously a little bit different when you live with a person.
What do you feel about, oh man, but 6 months, you've only been out for 6 months and you're living together. That's a tough
thing for me to handle. That's a whole other issue. I would never do that.
Yeah. How do you move in with someone after 6 months of dating? That sounds ridiculous to me.
I straight up don't know.
It sounds like a fucking nightmare.
You need to have your own space and figure each other out. You need to know what you guys like and don't like, and what, you know, what triggers each other, and he doesn't do the dishes and I get fucking pissed when dishes, like shit like that matters, dude.
This is still like honeymoon phase for me. You can't fucking move in together. It's a honeymoon phase. Jesus.
I would never do that.
Oh my gosh. Especially during COVID.
I don't know. I don't want to say that was the completely wrong thing to do, but
I'm going to say it's the wrong thing to do, guys. You gotta move out, get your own places. You got to start off slow here, people.
Yeah.
Stay over a couple days a week, turn into maybe 3 or 4, you know, leave a toothbrush. I don't know what the fuck you do, but don't move in together.
Nowadays, like, it's so weird. Sex is like the first base, and then opening up about your fears and dreams is like third base.
Dude, I've never thought of that. You're right. You get attached, and then everything pours out. It's like, holy shit, I got to get out of here.
It's like going back to my childhood trauma. That's like fourth base, dude.
Yeah. It's interesting though. Like I lost my, like in college, I didn't have sex until college. So I was a bit like on the later game, but you know, it is kind of the first thing you do now. I didn't know anything really about her. It was a Halloween party. She still had her fucking costume on. It was weird.
Yeah, that sounds like it was a good night.
That was fun.
Hell yeah, dude.
Mumford and Sons were playing in the background. It's odd. It was weird.
Oh my God. Did you make one of those videos? Like, you ever see those videos on Twitter where it's like, this is what Mumford and Sons would sound like if you're in the bathroom at a party?
Yeah. Oh, those are the best.
You gotta make one of those and title it like My First Sexual Experience.
Yeah, dude, 100%. It was in Long Island at some party. It was great. It was great. Great time. Hempstead.
Good shit.
But are you from Long Island, or did you move there?
Yes. Yes. Okay. No, I've grew up on Long Island.
Is it the 516?
Baby, 516.
516 for life.
Wait, what about you?
I was born up in like the Boston area, and then I moved to Philly when I was like a kid, and I went to like middle school, high school here, and then I went to college in Long Island. So I was in Long Island for maybe 4 or 5 years, and then moved back.
Oh, cool. Where's your family?
Outside the Philly area.
So cool. Yeah, I have friends around there. Yeah.
Nice. Anytime you want to come down, man, hit me up. I'm around.
Fuck yeah. Are you there now?
Yeah, so I'll be here. So I decided to, so when we were working from home, like I decided to come back here and save up some money, and it definitely works. So
that is
hanging around.
Yeah, a lot of people I know did that. Very, very, very smart. There's no reason to sit in a Brooklyn apartment and fucking waste.
Dude, it was literally, I was in a room. It was like I had two roommates. I was in my room the entire time. It was fucking nightmare. Now I got like a basement where I can podcast from. I got this whole thing going on. Yeah. So it's great.
And then you can plan your next move. And when you're back, you'll be like stronger than ever, you know?
And dude, it's one of those things where I was saying this, I'm 32 single. I got no commitments over here. I could literally move anywhere in America or even like anywhere. Like, where would you move? What would you do?
I've actually considered this. Like, this is something that I will probably do or whatever. Yeah. Well, I'm actually sort of doing it already. I'm looking into, I've already got one job, but I want to kind of do this where I'm So the job at MSG is super sick.
Are you still working there? Or is it like shut
down?
Well,
no, because of COVID.
Yeah.
But when it gets back, it's like, I don't know, like it gets me good health insurance and all that shit. You have to work like 100 shows a year or something like that. Yeah. So being central to New York would be cool, but like I want to go fucking just like go other places and do other shit for other parts of the year. So obviously touring is like the number one coolest way to do that. I would love to.
For sure.
I was trying to look to transition more into like, you know, teching for people, just, you know, vibe tech or like, you know, just being a person who works on the road. You know, I have experience in sound and all this other shit too. So I was trying to get in with that, but COVID started. But if that didn't work out, like working at national parks would be super fucking sick. That'd That's something I'm going to do this summer actually for a bit.
Hell yeah.
There's companies where you can just like go work for like the hotels in the parks, for example. They have like private contractor companies and you can just like go do seasons in different places, or, you know, fucking the world's your oyster.
And I fucking missed those emo nights we did too in Long Island. Those things were fucking awesome.
Yeah, those were pretty damn lit. Like,
I know, dude. I had no idea how many people showed. I was like, there's a shit ton of people here. I was like, holy hell. Well,
O'Kays was packed when we did about a year ago. We did
about a year ago. So those are fun too. All right. Next question here. We'll get into it. All right. I'm in love with an escort. I'm 40. She's 25. Jesus. 8 years ago, my wife passed away. Sorry about that. And I had a difficult time coping. Eventually, I tried online dating, but went nowhere. I started seeing an escort, and she was amazing. We really connected on an emotional as well as physical level. I've seen her at least once a week for the past 5 years. I feel like we've grown close over this time, and she's opened up to me as well. She's told me her real name. That's good, I guess. I've been to her actual condo. She told me her reasons for becoming an escort. We talk about her family, and I've taken her on a vacation several times. We text daily. We've talked about her school and her career, and this is what's messing me up. I feel a strong connection, but I also realize it's her job and I'm paying her. The problem for me is that she's now done school and ready to move back home to begin her career and quit being an escort. She told me all this during Christmas. She bought me a PlayStation 5. What the fuck? That's awesome.
Whoa.
Damn. She said it was a thank you for being a great client all these years, and she's going to miss me. Should I confess my love to her, or what should I do here? Oh, boy.
Wow.
Dude, that's, PlayStation 5, man. Weren't those, like, couldn't you not get one for, like, a fucking year? I don't even know.
That's, like, some daddy money there, man.
I know.
Fuck. Love it. What energy.
Well, first of all, you were right. This is literally the same thing you're saying. Sex is first base in this fucking thing. I don't know if I could marry an escort. I don't know, you know.
This is how society is now. Sex is first base. It's like the dating Tinder app culture. Dude, what would I do? Okay, so I don't think there's anything wrong with shooting your shot. Like, shoot your shot. Like, you already have a good base with this person. Just be like, hit them up, be like, hey, I just want to tell you how I feel, level it out, put it on the playing field. And I totally understand if you don't feel the same way. Obviously, we're you know, born in different generations, different ages. You know, we have some space apart between us. But I feel as though I've developed a deep connection with you for this reason and this reason and this reason. And if you want to do anything with that, cool. If not, I just needed to get it off my chest. And then I would go from there.
Yeah, so maybe I would say, like, he should definitely shoot a shot, right? However, I would do it in, like, a, like, just not say I'm in love with you, but, like, think about, hey, do you want to get dinner? I was wondering if you want to get dinner or something one time.
Yeah, that's true.
Slowly bringing it up, but I don't know, man. Falling in love for me is very easy. Like, I'm you know, I was born in July, I'm a Cancer, so I'm a simp, and I fall in love with everyone who, you know, looks at me in the eyes. So
gotcha.
It's gonna be tough. Like, for me getting an escort, I'd immediately fall in love. Like, I don't think I could do it. I don't think I could handle this.
Yeah, it's not. Well, she said she's trying to transition
to transition
escort.
Yeah, which, so I guess
that might
is cool.
Be a point where something real could happen. But it's definitely not a guarantee, man. So I would say, like, don't put all your eggs in that basket, but give it an honest try. And if it doesn't work out, life is that way sometimes, but at least you'll have like a lifelong friend, you know?
Exactly. Like, I would just keep texting her, you know, you want to hang out. I know he's paying, but, you know, just hang out with her more. She's moving home, which kind of sucks, but maybe there's some sort of opportunity when she stops escorting to hang out. Who knows? You know, what you said, the world is your oyster, man. It seems like you're a single guy, you're paying for sex. Kind of weird, but you know, it's you know, the world's your oyster.
I you there's a way for you to be happy, I think, for sure.
Absolutely.
But who knows? It just might not work out, but I think you'll feel a lot better once you get the feelings off your chest and just express how deep the connection is.
I got to tell you, at an emo night, I fell in love with a stripper in Virginia. That was pretty bad.
Did you?
She's nice. Got a kid and everything. She was going to come out I went to a wedding in Joshua Tree. She was going to fly out, but I got nervous and I bailed the last couple days. But woo-wee.
That's pretty, I don't want to laugh at your sorrow, but that's kind of funny. That's a wild story. Did you think you were going to grow up as, be a full grown man and be able to tell that kind of story?
No, not at all. But, I'm glad about it. I woke up before. It was weird. I had a hotel that night. It was Virginia Beach, which is a very lovely town. It's a rock and roll town, too, bro. There's fucking punk rock venues all over the place there.
I did not know that.
Damn, it's weird. So we do an emo night down there, and it was a Sunday night. She lost her keys. I was like, just sleep at my hotel. I woke up before. She was talking about Paris. And I left her a note. I'm like, let's go to Paris sometime. And I left. It was weird.
It's cute as fuck, dude.
I know, bro. But did you have any weird touring stories? Have you fallen in love on the road before?
I try not to, because it's a very slippery slope of abusive power kind of stuff. And so I don't really like to fuck around on the road. But in my own head, if a girl's if I talk to a girl on the road in the past, and she's a similar age to me and not crazy young or anything and really cute, I'll be like, damn, you're cute. And that's pretty much as far as it'll go. Sometimes I'll make friends with people and then go from there. But if they're just a fan, I'm just I can't. I'm not gonna do that.
No, I mean, a lot of my quote unquote friend people that I meet on the road or whatever, usually we just become Instagram friends and DMing through that, which is kind of odd, but
yeah, that's the culture nowadays, man. But yeah, I definitely try not to make the fan thing ever a thing. And it's just not something I fuck with.
All right, let's get on to the last question here. We got one more. This one's a little bit lighter. My boyfriend, quote unquote, claims not to like a single TV show I watch. So basically the title, my boyfriend and I are both 19. We have been dating for almost a year and a half. We first started dating. I tried introducing him to shows I like, Parks and Rec, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, The Office. Wow, she's got wonderful taste. Stuff like that. He said he didn't like any of them. All in all, I probably go home to watch upwards of 10 different shows. I'm perfectly happy not watching my shows with him, and we usually just watch a movie or a show he likes. But here's the problem. I'm 99% sure he's watching them without me. We got a Netflix account together so we could do Netflix party during quarantine, and I started noticing episodes of shows that have already been watched on my account. I just assume I left a TV in my living room on our account and my younger brother had watched some of the episodes or something. Until today, my boyfriend and I were talking on Snapchat and he sent me a picture where you can see the TV in his room and it's playing Parks and Rec. I don't know why he likes watching these without me, but if any advice you guys have would be great. Why does he not like watching them with me, but he watches them by himself?
Dude, that's fucking weird.
That is the weirdest shit I've ever heard in my life.
Like it's not life or death weird, but dude, that's weird.
It is.
Right.
Do you think maybe he's watching just to keep up with her? Maybe he doesn't actually like it, but just trying to have something in common.
Fuck. That would be even weirder, dude.
That is so weird,
dude. Okay, so
First of all, what are you watching? Are you watching anything? I know you're super busy with the music stuff, but any favorite TVs?
I've been watching The Sopranos over.
Oh, dude. Holy shit. That is the best show I've ever seen in my life.
It's fucking gabagool legendary.
Gabagool. Hey.
And dude, all the guys I work with in the city, they all fucking talk like that. And it's so funny.
Yeah.
It's so funny how ingrained into the culture that show is and how representative of it. Because,
dude, and it's so crazy how it was in 2000. It still holds up. It's amazing.
Yeah, it really does. So I've still been making my way through that. It's kind of picked up and put it down because I've been busy. I don't know. Me and my roommate sometimes watch Quarantine. Me and my roommate sometimes watch Community, and I've watched all that before, but I love that show, so I'll watch it again. But
I'm more into the true crime shit. Oh, wait, Mr. Robot? My brother said, he's like, dude, you got to watch this.
That's one of the best shows I've ever seen.
Are you serious? I love that guy in it, too. I think he's coming out in a movie, too, soon.
Yeah, Rami Malek is the fucking man.
Yeah.
I didn't finish it because I was watching it, and then me and my ex started watching it, and then we broke up, and I was really sad, and I didn't want to watch it anymore.
Yeah, that's
amazing. Now I've been over it, so I want to finish it because I never figured out how it ended.
When you break up with someone, do you got to like delete them on Instagram, Facebook, whatnot?
Well, if I'm really in love with them, yes. Because I need to go cold turkey and just put it out of my mind and not try to forget about it, but seeing it all the times definitely doesn't help. Like, I know you exist, I know you're doing things, blah blah blah, but do I have to see it? No. So that helps me just kind of focus on myself and my own wave of things more. But if me and a person were dating for 2 months, a month, and it just didn't work out, but we're still like, yeah, like you're cool, like, you know we could still be friends and still be cool, then I'll like still follow you on stuff and everything. But if I'm deeply invested and it's like really traumatizing, I'm not going to.
Yeah, it's very hard for me to do that. Like, I've only been in 2 relationships and they're longer. It's probably one was 3.5 years and one was 3, I believe. But we've known each other longer. But I had to get rid of them all on every account. Never talked to them again. The whole friend thing just doesn't work for me.
It's not possible with me. It's a slippery slope because I'm going to stay falling in love with you. And I just can't.
The thing is also, if you're still friends, quote unquote, or whatever, and you hang out with other people, like, you're just going to get into a fight, I feel like.
Yep.
You know? Drinks are flowing or whatever. You're at a bar. You start yelling at each other.
Yeah, it's like, it's messy. It's toxic. You just both need to do your thing. And like, I don't know, maybe if you're years apart down the line and nothing really that bad went on, like, cool, maybe you could be friends again. But like, I don't know, there's certain situations, like if it was like a really traumatizing thing and one cheated on another, then I would like never talk to you literally.
Damn,
ever
dude.
Again.
Yeah, that cheating thing is really fucked up. I like, that's sort of why I like being single, so I can't get yelled at. You know, it's like, damn, like, why would you cheat on me, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, holy shit, just be single.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But it is nice to have that person who can be, you know, there for you and that.
Oh, absolutely.
That home kind of feeling.
Yeah, being single, you sort of miss that, like, good morning text or like, what's going on today? Like, how's your day? You kind of miss all that, you know?
Yeah, yeah, you definitely do. It gets lonely sometimes, and we all go through it. But I don't know. Everyone has their different level of stuff that they're okay with. Some people are okay being single forever, dude.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's insane. So for this guy, you know, I would just confront your boyfriend about it, being like, why are you watching this without me there?
Anyway, yeah, back to this.
It's all good, dude. The off topic conversations are great.
You have to find out the reason why. Be like, dude, I know you're watching this. I saw this. Why is this happening? Are you just trying to keep up or do you actually like it? And then you have to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah,
that's fucking weird, dude.
I know there is an update, so I can share that after we talk about it for another minute. But yeah, that is very weird. I would have to confront him about it because that kind of puts you in a bad mood, being like, why don't we just watch it together? Like, you know,
if there's a legitimate reason why, like, maybe I'll float with it, but I don't know. Like, if you guys never have the same schedule and you still want to catch up on shows, like, that's cool. But the situation that was described in the text is kind of fucking weird.
I know, dude. I know. Sneaky. I would not be watching I don't know. Yeah, it's like everyone's taste is different. A lot of the times when I was dating, girls would have different tastes in television, so I'd be like, I don't know. You got to just be upfront about it, I guess. Like, I love the Sopranos, true crime shit, like True Detective, all that stuff. But a lot of people I date, like the comedy, you know, The Office, haha, you know, jokey. I'm just like, all right.
I like a few funny shows, but I like the more like dramatic ones for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Like, have you seen Boardwalk Empire?
No, I never seen that.
Dude, that is like just as good as a Sopranos. It's like the mob in Atlantic City in 1920s when Prohibition's around. It's so fucking good.
That's fucking sick, actually.
Yeah, dude, look at it. It's on HBO.
Steve Buscemi's in that or
yeah,
no?
Yeah, he's the main character. He's really, really good.
I mean, what a legend.
Dude, he's such a legend and he's so underrated. It's so weird.
Yeah. He just looks funny though.
Dude, he's like the weirdest looking guy ever, and he's in Sopranos too.
Oh yeah, yeah, you're
like,
right.
Like, going forward, yeah, I think like season 4 or 5. But
I'm in season 4 right now, so
yeah, he comes up. Yeah, it comes up pretty soon. But yeah, but I would confront the boyfriend. You guys have been going out for a year and a half, which is a long time. So he shouldn't really have to be hiding this from you. But there's an update here. So I just got off the phone with him, and it turns out he genuinely didn't like it when he first watched it, but he saw a couple more episodes when his parents were watching them, and he got really into it, Parks and Rec specifically. He didn't say anything because we'd have many conversations about him not liking it, and he thought it was kind of an aspect of his personality. But anyways, we're going to start rewatching it together. Wow, that's a happy ending.
There you go.
There you go. He didn't like it. And then when you guys weren't hanging out, he was like, I like this and I'm going to start watching it.
Yeah. So maybe that just happens. That might not be a problem, an indicative of like a bigger problem. So,
I mean, yeah, at first I thought he was a complete weirdo. It's like, what are you doing? Yeah. Are you trying to get broken up with? Like, what's going on here?
Sociopath shit.
I know. It's like, what are you doing? Jesus. Damn. What a guy. You know, at least it didn't end in breakup.
Yeah, happy endings are cool sometimes.
They are cool. Not as juicy, but still cool. Well, glad you guys are still going out. What would, I don't know about your past, but what would happen? Like, I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this. Why would you break up with somebody in this situation? Would you break up with someone in this situation? Like,
no, kept it a secret? That's not as bad. It's just because it's over Netflix and TV shows. But yeah. I'd be like, yo, that's straight up weird. Why are you doing that? And then if it started to be more like, I'm just hiding shit from you just to hide it from you, I'd be like, yo, like, we're not connecting. And if we don't like connect about stuff, I don't want to be in a relationship with you.
Yeah, absolutely. What is your take on like snooping too? Do you ever look at like your girlfriend, et cetera's phone?
I've tried not to. I have, unfortunately, once or twice. Just, well, basically when I felt really, really insecure about stuff.
Yeah.
And I felt like stuff wasn't being honestly communicated with me when I asked about it and confronted about it first. It's sometimes anxiety will get the best of me, and that's not something. Yeah. It's not something I'm super proud of, but I don't think I like really like uncovered any like crazy private information or anything like that. But I've heard horror stories, dude. One of my closest friends, I'm not going to like air out their dirty laundry. Yeah, so I'll say a close friend was dating someone for a while and they were long distance. And dude, he was where the girlfriend lived fucking one time. And he went through their phone and just the nightmare ensued. He
I am pro snooping. Fuck this. Pro snoop. Yeah.
He found, and they were like, they were getting real serious, dude. They were on the way. And thank God he found out beforehand. It was a fucking travesty. He was a wreck. But he got over it. It was just really sad to watch that unfold. I don't know. I hated watching someone go through that. And it made me really paranoid about like future relationships and situations. Yeah. Cause I was just like, fuck, man. I've heard of people doing that, but I really, I don't know, like, oh, it's disgusting. It makes me sick to my stomach. Like,
yeah, it's crazy.
On you deliberately and just like always flirting with you, you know, someone.
Yeah, if you're head over heels for someone, it really just tears you down. It makes you so insecure. It's like, oh my God, what the hell's going on over here?
Yeah, it like literally ruins your life.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, and a lot of these questions too are just like, I looked through my boyfriend or girlfriend's phone. Here's what I found. It's like, Jesus, like these people are assholes.
Yeah, I don't get why people think it's so easy to live this double life. It's like not sustainable.
You are going to get caught 100%.
It's not sustainable at all, dude. Like,
I know.
Some bullshit's going to pop up unless you're like literally pure evil.
Yeah, it's gonna pop up sooner or later. Everything eventually comes out. You know, it's crazy. It's absurd.
Just live an honest life, motherfuckers.
Live an honest. Be upfront about it. That's sort of why I had this podcast. You can literally listen to everything about me. I tell you everything, so it's out in the open. You know.
Yeah.
So what else is going on with you, man? What you got going on the next couple of months? Promoting the new record.
Promoting the new record. I have a bunch of content. To subsequently like promote this release, like
great
because I recorded it and mixed it and all that shit. I'm gonna do all these production breakdowns for every track and like go through the sessions and stuff. I just dropped the first one a few weeks ago, but I'm gonna let the record sit for a few months. I got a few remixes. Like the thing I like about like post rock and just like, I don't know, the direction I'm heading now is like, I just don't give a fuck about genre norms anymore. And I feel like a lot of people are on this wave. Like, yeah, I'm making mostly instrumental post rock music, but like, I'm sending my stems out to electronic producers that I know and having them remix shit. And like, cause I just don't care. I love that shit. And I just like, I try to be eclectic with the influences I bring in. And I'm doing a lot of collaborations this year for sure.
Yeah.
Trying to do like one-off songs with other cool artists that I've like connected with over the past few months.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Got working on one, got done with one recently. So I have a couple definitely singles that'll be out later this year, but I definitely want the record to sit and hold its place for a bit. And yeah, gonna go explore and work and travel a bit.
Awesome.
Probably live out of my van a little bit and then probably work temporarily in a park.
That's awesome, dude. What a great time to be alive.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to make the best of this unfortunate situation while not putting anyone else at risk.
And also going back to the remix thing too. It's like, who knows what could pop off like from remixes.
Oh yeah.
I just love that shit, you know?
Yeah, dude. I'm just trying to like literally just do whatever the fuck I want to do. Like fuck genre. Like if if a song sounds good and I want to put it out, I'll put it out under.
Exactly.
I don't
as long as you're comfortable with it, as long as like it fits your vibe and you know, your emotions and all that stuff. It's
if great. It's something that I like I will put it out. And I just, I don't know. I just don't care that much anymore about the brand or the whole, you know, the box I'm trying to stick to or get stuck in. I feel like in past bands, they were so branded that they just were too branded and then disingenuous. And it just didn't work out that way when really people connect with genuinity. Is that a word? Genuinity?
Maybe. I think
people I've noticed that people really connect with things that are genuine and not just like, hey, I'm trying to be famous or trying to get really notable or whatever. I don't know. I just try to make like the most honest product I can with myself. And if people don't like it, cool. Like, try something else next time or next time I put something out.
Crazy times. It's awesome. It's like, so the new record is called Tundra. It was out on Friday. This comes out on Monday. So this is awesome, man.
Dude,
this stuff from Secret Gardens.
Yes, that is me, Secret Gardens. And
dude, Larry fucking King died today.
No way.
Holy shit. From COVID.
Did you just see that?
Yeah, it just popped up on my phone.
Oh, no.
Damn, dude. Well, in interviewing goddamn King, Larry King. Jesus fucking Christ. COVID blows, dude. Fuck COVID.
Fucking sucks. Fuck. From what I know. Oh, man. Fuck, that sucks a lot. Yeah, dude, I've been saying this requires context, but I've been saying Larry King's name. He's been brought up a lot recently because me, my roommate and my one other friend, we all watched this Eric Andre interview with Larry King.
Dude, Larry King has no idea what he was doing. It was hilarious. He's like, who are these guys?
You've seen that interview?
No, I've seen clips of his new show where he's just like, I don't even know who you are.
Do you know who Eric Andre is?
Yeah. He's a weirdo.
He's fucking hilarious.
Yeah,
I laughed so hard at this shit. So go watch Eric Andre's interview with Larry King on YouTube.
I gotta watch that.
At the end, or you know, it's slowly in, it's like an exponential curve. It just devolves into madness. And Eric is answering. So Larry King is just he's like shooting out like rapid fire questions at Eric from fans. Like, hey, Eric, what's your favorite dish? And like, Eric is just so tired of the like point A, point B, point like C format of Larry King. And he just wants to fuck with everything. So he starts just answering every question with the word Larry King.
Oh my God.
It's like, Eric, what's your favorite haircut? Larry King. Eric, like who would you, you know, want to date and why? Larry King. And it's like fucking funny. And I've been saying that recently. So that's
You seen the clip where like he's interviewing Jerry Seinfeld? Did you see that before?
Yeah.
And he's like, they canceled you, right? I'm like, it's like, no, Larry, they didn't cancel me. I had the top fucking show in America.
Yeah.
So great. Damn, Larry King had 7 wives. What a boss.
He had balls. He was a funny guy.
I feel like after the 5th wife, I'd be like, I'm not getting married again. This is ridiculous.
Honestly, I kind of, I, I see what you're saying there. he's a guy. He's a smooth guy.
Yeah, he's smooth. He's a, you know, he's a smooth guy. I'm sure he could pick up any chick he wanted.
He goes his way.
Any girl at the bar he wanted, he could pick up. He's like, hey, I'm
Larry King. Larry King.
But yeah, thank you guys for tuning in. Secret Gardens, Tundra, out on Friday.
I forgot to explain this. Tundra is the winter installment. And I'm doing a record for all four seasons.
Oh, fuck yeah. That's amazing.
I did a summer one in 2019, and Tundra is the winter installment. So make sure if you're going to go listen to it, put on some headphones and go for like a cold walk in the cold weather or the snow or whatever and go vibe it.
Sounds like a goddamn afternoon to me, man.
Yeah.
Sounds like it. All right, guys. That's our advice. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you, man, for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Of course. Talk soon.
All right. Have a good one, man.
Bye.